brought to you by Thomas Allgaier and Frenis. This edition highlights key LinkedIn posts on social selling in weeks 13 and 14. Frenis supports clients with identifying target attendees for events, crafting outreach that cuts through the noise, and driving qualified registrations through strategic LinkedIn engagement. You can find more info in the description.
So we are really excited to get into this deep dive today because B2B social selling is, well, it's going to a massive upheaval right now.
Right. And if you're a B2B marketing professional joining us today, you already know the struggle. I mean, trying to separate actionable strategies from, you know, generic platform fluff.
It's exhausting.
Oh, completely exhausting. You're probably tired of wondering why your outreach just isn't in the market anymore.
Exactly. So today's deep dive is your shortcut. We're looking at the top social selling trends across LinkedIn from calendar weeks 13 and 14 to show you how the rules have fundamentally shifted.
Yeah, and we're going to break this down into four core themes. First, the AI and algorithm reset, because, you know, if you're invisible, nothing else matters. Then we'll look at conversion systems, profile discipline, and finally, team selling.
Let's start with that algorithm reset. I like to think about the old algorithm like your favorite local coffee shop. You know, you walk in, you order, you pay, you wait. The system is totally predictable.
Right. The menu board tells you exactly what to expect.
But imagine walking in tomorrow and suddenly the barista won't even acknowledge you unless your outfit perfectly matches the origin country of the coffee beans.
Wow, yeah.
And you can't pay with money anymore. You have to, like, initiate a highly relevant conversation with someone by the pastry case just to get your coffee.
It'd be absolute chaos. Just a room full of people shouting their orders at an espresso machine, totally baffled.
And that feeling of disorientation is exactly what's happening on LinkedIn right now. There's this quiet rollout of a new AI model that practitioners are calling 360 Brew.
Yeah, the 360 Brew era. And we aren't just guessing about this. Roger Basler de Roca actually did some phenomenal research confirming it. He dug into RCIF.
Oh, RCIF, that's the open source database for pre-release technical papers, right?
Exactly. He found the actual papers from LinkedIn engineers, cross-referenced them with VP statements, and verified it all. So this new AI architecture is a documented reality.
Which means the era of engagement bait is just completely dead. Maxim Carl pointed this out recently. He noticed that real expertise and hands-on stories are actively replacing those, you know, generic recycled carousel hacks.
Right, because the old system was so easy to game. A carousel worked because every click to the next slide logged as high engagement.
Right, it tricked the dwell time.
Exactly. Yeah. But 360 Brew is way smarter. Renina Palinkia noted that the algorithm now heavily prioritizes saves and true dwell time over simple likes. I mean, a like takes a fraction of a second, but saving a post, that shows real human intent.
To really prove this, Sarah Clay ran this fascinating test. She posted an off-topic cat video, which, you know, usually farms engagement anywhere on the internet.
Oh, yeah, the ultimate social media cheat code.
Right. But it got her lowest interaction rate in years. But then, in that same week, she posted a highly specific LinkedIn strategy post, and it was her highest engagement of the quarter.
Because of what the algorithm calls semantic coherence. This is huge. 360 Brew cross-checks your post against your actual profile.
Wait, so it reads your background to see if you're qualified to post about the topic?
Exactly. It asks, does this person actually have the expertise to talk about this? So when Sarah posted the cat video, the AI saw her B2B profile, saw a massive mismatch, and just intentionally suppressed the reach.
Wow. So you're actively penalized if you aren't semantically coherent.
You are. Which means we have to take control of what the AI thinks of us. Andre V recommends actually manually retraining your feed, like aggressively unfollowing people to clear out the AI slot.
And just a quick note for everyone, unfollowing doesn't sever the connection, so there's no awkward social fallout.
Right, exactly. So you clean house, and then you only save and like posts that matter to your target buyers with extreme intention.
Okay, let me unpack this for a second, though. If we actively unfollow everyone outside our strict niche, aren't we just building a massive echo chamber? Like, aren't we optimizing for the machine at the expense of discovering diverse ideas?
It's a really valid concern.
Yeah.
If you're on the platform just for personal education, sure, an open feed is great. But we have to look at this from a strict B2B sales perspective.
Right, pipeline generation.
Exactly. Aditi Negi tracked the data on this post 360 Brew. And a highly calibrated smaller network massively outperforms a large disengaged one. If you want to close an enterprise deal, you don't need a football stadium of random people. You need a conference room with six engaged decision makers.
The algorithm rewards you for building that focused conference room. I love that. Okay, so we have the attention of the right people, but visibility doesn't pay the payroll. Let's move to our second theme. Conversion systems over vanity metrics.
Yeah, this is where we shift from followers to funnels. Josh S. said it perfectly. Followers are not leads. He outlined a 6-step system that prioritizes serving over selling and really utilizing TOFU, MOFU, and BOFU content.
Which stands for top, middle, and bottom of the funnel. We hear those acronyms all the time, but applying them to a social feed is, well, it's tricky.
It is, and most people only post top-of-funnel stuff, broad industry observations,
yep.
And then they're shocked when nobody asks for a demo.
Right.
You have to move them down. Top-of-funnel for reach, middle-of-funnel with a specific framework, and bottom-of-funnel with a direct case study and a lead magnet.
You have to actually invite them in. And speaking of that, Carolina Posma shared this great reality check. She talked about the stupidest thing she used to do as a seller.
Oh, the cold DMs.
Yes. Spending hours grinding out cold DMs to strangers while totally ignoring warm leads who are already engaging with her content.
It's like ignoring people waving checkbooks at you so you can go knock on a stranger's door.
Exactly. So she advocates working a strict 5-level list. You start with inbound leads, you respond to those within 1 hour, and you work your way down. Cold prospects are dead last.
And when you do finally reach out, the medium matters so much. Christian Krause broke down his process for video DMs, and he's getting a massive 25-30% response rate.
Okay, wait. Let's pause there. 30%. I mean, traditional text-based cold outreach gets what, like 2 or 3%? 30% is insane.
It's totally an outlier, but his method explains it. He actually walks outside while recording these short videos. It acts as a pattern interrupt.
Oh, because the buyer's just staring at walls of text all day inside an office.
Right. Suddenly they see a real human walking under a blue sky. It breaks the corporate trance. Plus, 87% of human communication is nonverbal. Video accelerates trust in a way text just can't.
And the data supports this completely. Dennis Debus analyzed 7,000 sales conversations. He found that social selling gets an 82.2% reply rate, but it takes about 4.4 days.
Wow.
Yeah, and a direct pitch gets a 54.5% reply rate, taking about 3.5 days. So the takeaway is clear. Use social selling for small lists and big deals and direct pitches for big lists and small deals.
That's a perfect strategic split.
But here's where it gets a bit overwhelming to me. Recording personalized videos outside, managing a 5-level list, doesn't that take an impossible amount of time? It feels like handcrafting artisan coffee for a line of 100 customers.
Well, that's the thing. You aren't supposed to serve the 100 people in line. You only serve the 5 who want to buy the whole franchise.
Ah, targeted accounts.
Exactly. Krause suggests doing this for just 5 target accounts a week. That's about 25 personas. You research, outline, and record all of them in bulk. It's about high leverage, not volume.
Okay, so let's say you send the perfect video. They're intrigued and they click your name. If they land on a confusing profile, all that trust is just gone. Which brings us to our third theme, profile and positioning discipline.
Yes. Your profile is no longer a digital CV. It's a B2B sales asset. It's a pitch deck. Yvonne Boateng stresses that your profile has to match your content perfectly.
Right. She says your headline needs to show exactly who you help and how. Your banner is like a visual billboard. And your about section shouldn't be a resume. It needs to focus entirely on the reader's problems.
That's the visual side, but there's also a hidden technical layer that is blowing people's minds right now. Joseph Tanis brought up the SSI, the Social Selling Index.
The secret metric.
The secret metric. A lot of people don't know this, but if your SSI score is low, LinkedIn secretly caps your connection requests. Like, they will physically throttle your outreach to 100 requests a week instead of the max 200.
Wait, even if you're paying for a premium sales navigator license?
Even then, it directly controls your weekly limits.
Now, Daria Shulapova did clarify something important about this. She pointed out that SSI does not determine your visibility to recruiters. That's still based on keywords and job titles.
Right, but for B2B sales and outbound volume, it is absolutely vital.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate. Is the SSI score just this, like, gamified vanity metric LinkedIn invented to keep us clicking, or does it actually measure sales capability?
Well, it's a platform metric, sure, but it measures the exact behaviors that lead to sales.
Mm-hmm.
Completing your profile, engaging with insights, building relationships. So whether you like the gamification or not, it physically restricts your volume. You have to play the game.
You have to pay the toll to drive on the highway. Makes sense. Okay, let's move to our final theme, team selling and market reality. Because the best B2B marketing right now isn't a solo effort anymore.
Not at all. B2B buyers are changing fast. Timothy Hughes noted that 68% of B2B buyers pick a vendor before they even start a formal search. If you aren't influencing them early, you've lost.
And Hughes dropped this massive insight on how they're researching. We're moving from SEO to GEO, generative engine optimization.
This is huge.
LinkedIn is now the number one cited domain for professional queries and LLMs like ChatGPT. So when your employees post, they are literally feeding the AI engines that answer your future customers' questions.
Which is why employee advocacy is so critical now. Stefan Wetzel shared that employee brand ambassadors reach 8 times more people than company pages.
8 times. That's incredible.
And Jody Leon added that this works even in highly regulated industries. It actually outperforms paid ads because it builds native trust.
Chad Johnson had a really stark warning for sales leaders about this. He said treating LinkedIn as optional right now is like ignoring gravity. Your competitors are out there shaping the market narrative without you.
It's true. But, you know, Ian Truscott did give us a bit of a mathematical reality check on all this. LinkedIn has 1.3 billion accounts, but only about 300 million are active monthly.
And of those, only 1% actually post content.
Exactly. Plus, Stacy Wong reminded everyone that not everyone you need is even on LinkedIn. You still need email, voicemails, and in-person visits. It has to be omnichannel.
Let me press you on that 1% stat, though. If only 1% of users actually post, aren't we just spending all our time talking to other marketers and creators? Like, how do we know the actual buyers are even looking?
That is the big fear, right? But Truscott says you have to love the lurkers, that 99%. They're reading, they're saving, they're taking screenshots and putting them in Slack.
Ah, dark social.
Exactly. That's why 360 Brew's focus on dwell time over likes is so critical. It finally measures that silent majority.
The buyers are there. They're just taking quiet notes. That is such a powerful perspective.
It really is. And, you know, if we pull all this together, it leaves us with kind of a provocative thought to mull over. As AI models like ChatGPT increasingly rely on our posts for answers, are we approaching a future where we aren't writing for human buyers at all? Are we just writing to persuade the AI agents that the humans will eventually consult?
Wow, optimizing for the AI so the AI recommends you to the buyer. That is something to think about. If you enjoyed this episode, new episodes drop every 2 weeks. Also, check out our other editions on account-based marketing, field marketing, channel marketing, MarTech, go-to-market, and AI in B2B marketing.
Thank you so much for joining us, and be sure to subscribe so you don't miss the next deep dive.
We'll see you next time.